Celebrating Mary as Mother of God is making a faith statement that comes to us from fairly early history of the church as they were going back and forth trying to come to some understanding of what the nature of Jesus is. There were some who wanted to say he was just fully human, and at some point after the resurrection, God made him divine too, or he was fully divine and just put on a human costume and pretended to be like one of us. And to which both church said, both of these are totally wrong. He's always been eternal and the second person of the divine Trinity, but at a particular moment in time, after having prepared the perfect mother for him, he then became incarnated. His divine nature became eternally wedded from that moment onward with our human nature. But why then? You know, that's a curious question that we don't often ask. You know, it's kind of curious that the church chose this reading from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, which was in a time of turmoil all by itself, but church deliberately chose this reading to make an emphasis on understanding God as human and divine, being born of a woman. Notice it doesn't say born of Mary and Joseph or born of a husband and wife. It just says born of a woman. That's Paul expressing his understanding that there's the father is not a human. It's not Joseph. It's God. But again, why then? Paul's giving us something ahead because, you know, in the fullness of time, why was that the fullness of time? The world is a mess. You know, that entire area around the Middle East, the Mediterranean basin, it's under the occupation of the Roman Empire. A really nice, holy institution, right? Now, just as corrupt could be, and had some extremely vile and violent emperors, one of which was on the throne at that time. Israel itself was in a state of turmoil. They've got corrupted leaders, civil and religious. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Lots of corruption, lots of immorality. So why was that the fullness of time? Wasn't God able to see that this is probably the least possible perfect time to put Jesus on earth, right? But God says, you know, and he's using Paul to say this to us, in the fullness of time, here's when God chose for it to happen. Because human circumstances do not thwart God's intent or will. Through the many times of corruption and mishap and trial and tribulation and everything else that was going on from Adam and Eve until Mary and Joseph and Jesus, God has been using human history and its events to prepare things for this moment in which arrived the fullness of time for Jesus to be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and come to earth, and then after 33 years, fulfilled the purpose for which God established our redemption all the way back to Adam and Eve. Going forward, what can we do with that? A, we need to keep a very lively, firm faith and understanding of who Jesus is. He's not just some guy, he's not just a prophet, he's not just a holy teacher. One of the many corruptions that are happening in the faith in our day and age, he is the Son of God, fully God, fully man, who suffered, died, rose again on the third day, and ascended into heaven on the 40th day, and sent forth the Holy Spirit. We need those rock foundations to stand on. But the rest of it, what's our time like? Because the intention that's kind of perpetual is that Jesus will become incarnate in us as we go through our lives while we are here on earth. Is this a perfect time? I'll say it again. I'll ask it again. Is this a perfect time? No, what a mess. Are there problems in the world? Yeah. Is there a problem in our nation? Yes. Is there a mess in our politics? Oh, yeah. Are there problems in the church? Yeah. Things are not exactly stable, perfect, and happy-looking. So what does that mean? What do we do? There's a lesson in here. Even when Paul is writing his letter to the church in Galatia, which he himself evangelized, and had evangelized them well, it was in a state of turmoil. If you go back to the beginning of that letter, very early into it, Paul, in rather expressive terms, goes, what's the matter with you Galatians? Have you lost your minds? Because after all that hard work, in comes some corrupted false evangelizers who are turning everything upside down. And he's trying to say, hey, wake up. You're in the wrong place. Come back. So, it wasn't even perfect looking then. And it's not any better looking right now. So again, what do we do? How do we handle this? God, whose purpose was not thwarted in preparing the world to receive Jesus this first time, he was not thwarted in preparing the perfect mother for his son to become incarnate. He was not thwarted in bringing about the work of our redemption. In fact, he used all those corrupted individuals and leaders, civil and religious, and Roman Empire, which led to this, which led to the resurrection on the third day, and his offering his life on the altar of the cross for us. God's purpose and plan was not thwarted. So, again, let's pull that forward and sit it down on today. What does that tell us? Now, first off, when has human history ever been perfect and pretty? I mean, if you've studied history any at all, there's always some sort of a mess going on somewhere, and usually in half the world all at once at the same time, and right now it's like the entire world. Does that mean what's going on today can thwart God's plan and purpose? Nothing that we, the human race, can do can stop God from fulfilling his purpose. When the fullness of time comes, the end will happen. The final ingathering of the saints, those who have been made holy and perfected by the grace of the word and the sacrament, will be lifted up and made final preparation to enter into the fullness of the kingdom. Nothing that we can do can stop it at the global level. What can? Here's where we go from the general level to the individual level. The only one that can thwart God's purpose are the choices that we make. We always have before us, presented to us, the truth and the grace to live it, or to choose to follow the corruptions that are at work constantly throughout human history and present today. To which will we give ourselves in faith? To the truth and the grace to live it, or to the corruption constantly at work in the world? Even when some of it is coming through some corrupted aspects of the church itself. We live in challenging times. And I mean, we live in really challenging times. And we're presented with a choice each and every moment. Who are we going to follow? Will we follow him? Or will we give in and go with the flow of the world around us and allow our souls to become corrupted and let Satan win over us individually, personally? We're given all kinds of help. Here's why it is a mandatory requirement that no matter where Mass is celebrated, it always must include this. And I don't sit down and choose what readings to do. Notice this is a nice, big, heavy printed volume, and it's got what the church requires to be read at each and every single Mass throughout the entire year, through the entire 3-year cycle of Sunday and 2-year cycle of weekday readings. They are assigned because they all have a purpose. of helping to highlight and explain and plant within us some aspect of our faith life as revealed through the inspired Word of God. And what else do we have? You notice I keep pointing over here, and I'm not pointing over there, I'm pointing right there. At this square 2,000-pound physical object to my left. We have the sacraments which baptism and confirmation are incorporating us into the body of Christ, making us adopted sons and daughters, as Paul expresses in this letter to the church in Galatia, reminding them of who they are and who we are. And then nurturing and feeding our souls and strengthening our souls with the gift of Jesus' own body, blood, soul, and divinity, He Himself, to empower us to receive this, to live this, to evangelize with this out there. We are meant to be a help to undo the confusion that's at work out there. We're given lots of encouragement. You know you have a guardian angel, right? Let me try that again. I'm looking for a yes. You know you have a guardian angel who is meant to be your helper, to help you through this life, to meet God face to face and be welcomed into the fullness of the kingdom. And we're also accompanied by whom? And one of the things, it's a phrase in the creed that we'll be doing in a few minutes, we believe in the communion of saints. The many who have gone before us and who have lived this faithfully and who are now interceding for us before God face to face. And that includes a great member of your own, great number of your own families and friends who have gone on from this life before us and who are awaiting our joining them in eternity. But to take a step back and move back forward, it depends on our cooperating with this, receiving the truth and with the grace and help of God, living the truth until God calls us from this life. We need to not allow ourselves to be deceived like so many in Galatia were back in mid-first century AD. Many got led astray. Paul pulled a bunch of them back, but the satanic work back then is still at work now, trying to corrupt and confuse and deceive, and we need to do what Paul was encouraging them to do. Don't give in, don't fall prey to it, don't accept or embrace anything other than this and the grace that accompanies it. As Mary was the only mother, virgin mother, prepared for from eternity, for Christ, and she bore him with great love and devotion and followed him faithfully and stood at the foot of his cross. So we are meant to bear him in our lives and bring him to the world.